When I was a teenager, I had this friend who would constantly say, "I can't wait to have kids." Right? It was kind of a weird thing for guys to say, but he would say, "I can't wait to have kids." Okay, why is that? Well, when I have kids, I'm going to do this wonderful experiment with them, and I'm going to teach them wrong. What do you mean you're going to teach them wrong? Well, I'm going to take something that's red, and I'm going to tell them this is yellow, and I'm going to start off that, and I'm going to take something green and say, well, this is blue, right? And I just want to see what happens with this whole mass chaos of teaching them wrong things. Now, you're here, and in theory, it was kind of funny. If someone actually did that to their child and taught them wrongly, what would you call that? Abuse, what? Call the courts. Oh, Common Core. I'm not going there. I'm smarter than that. Right. I mean, it is just so difficult. And it is such a abusive thing to do to a child. That is a false teacher. Well, we in the church experience that sort of thing on a regular basis. We as believers in this world will face false teaching, false information. And not only just false information by well-meaning people who don't know any better, we will also experience false teachers who come into our midst and intentionally want to pull us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. They want to pull us away from our Lord and Master Jesus. How do we respond to them? What do we do? How do we respond to false teachers? As we look at 2 John, you'll recall last week, John starts off talking to the elect lady. I believe he's talking to the church. And he says, church, you need to be people characterized by the truth. And how do you do that? Well, we assume that the answer is, well, have doctrine, you know a lot of stuff. And his answer was, no, you're people characterized by the truth, by loving one another. Whoa. Totally radical. He says, love one another. Then you'll be people characterized by truth. And he talks about having truth and love. You need to have both of those aspects to be people characterized by truth. If you only have one, you've missed the point. You can't be characterized by truth. You have to have the right information, but you also have to have sacrificial giving love. But then he changes topics a little bit. It's still connected. And he gets to the meat of what he's talking about. And he answers his question, how should believers respond to false teachers? Read with me in verse 7. He says, many deceivers have gone out into the world. They do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you don't lose what we have worked for, but that you may receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. The one who remains in that teaching, this one has both the Father and the Son. Let's pause there for a moment. So he says these many deceivers have gone out into the world. They don't confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Yeah, so at their day and age, their big problem was that people were saying that, well, you know, God can't take on stinking, filthy human flesh. So he's really, you know, this is really talking, like Jesus was like some sort of spiritual thing that we only thought was a physical person. No, that's ridiculous. Jesus got the second person of the Trinity, came down, took on human flesh. It's called the incarnation, and walked among us, fully God and fully man. And he says, people will deny that, and they are deceivers. They're not representing who Jesus really is. They're presenting to you a false Jesus, a fake Jesus, really an antichrist, an anti-Jesus, a fake Messiah who cannot save you and who doesn't even exist. So he says, watch yourselves so that we don't lose what we've worked for. We don't want to wander away from Christ. Verse 9, anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. Yeah, he's saying, hey, you want to know if someone's really a believer in Christ or not? Do they hold on to Christ's teaching? And that's all of Christ's teaching, which I think that implies to the whole Bible. Because the whole Bible is Christ's. It's all inspired by the persons of the Trinity. If you wander beyond that, he said, and you just deny Jesus who he is, if you allow people to tear you away from Jesus Christ, he says, never a believer to begin with. He says, the one who remains in that teaching, the teaching of Christ, this one has both the Father and the Son. So, he's saying, How should we respond to deceivers? We should respond to deceivers by holding fast to the teaching of Christ, by holding on to the teaching of Christ. And it was incredibly difficult for them back then. You have to imagine what they were facing. First of all, it's a brand new spiritual movement that's happening. Yes, it's in connection to the Old Testament and the work God had done throughout Israel. But it was growing and now expanded to the Gentiles. And they were in a world, in the Roman world, that was filled with philosophy and filled with false gods. But in addition to that, can you imagine what's happening at the time that this is being written is that God's revelation is coming to his people, right? Like, we don't experience new revelation. So we don't, I mean, we have a lot of Christian books and stuff, but all of a sudden there's this new inspired Word of God letter that comes to the Colossians, to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, and then to the Corinthians again, because, you know, they don't get it the first time. And to Timothy, and to Timothy again, not because he didn't get it the first time, but because Paul really liked him. And they have this explosion of God's revelation. And in the midst of all of this new information and Christ being revealed and who he is, there's these false teachers that creep in. And they are writing their own letters and they're sending them out. And they're coming and they're saying, hey, Paul sent me. Hey, John sent me. And I'm going to teach in your little home church here. And they're like, oh, wow, that sounds good. Yeah, John never sent them. They're deceivers. They're liars. And so he's saying, watch yourselves. Hold on fast to the teaching of Christ. Don't wander away. Don't give up the blessing. And what's the blessing, I think? What's the reward? I mean, we're off. Oh, what kind of reward is he talking about? Is it money? Mm-hmm. Is it heaven? It's not even heaven. It's Jesus himself. The author and perfecter of life, Jesus himself, is the reward of Christians. To know the maker of heaven and earth. To know the one who loves you for all your flaws and still loves you affectionately and more wonderfully than anyone else. That's the reward. And he says, don't give that up. Don't exchange the real Jesus for a fake facsimile, a cheap knockoff brand that's going to fall apart and the paint's chipping off of it. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. He says, hold on fast to Christ. Hold on to him, otherwise you will be deceived. Hold on to his teaching, otherwise you will be drawn away. Well, what is this like? What is it like to respond to deceivers in this way by holding fast to Christ? It's like, imagine you were a taste tester. And not just any taste tester, you were a hot dog bun taste tester. I don't know if that's really a job, but let's pretend it is. So let's say you're a hot dog bun taste tester, and you can put up the picture here. And you have to try hot dog buns. You got the regular ones. You got the honey ones. You got the ones with sesame seeds for the weirdos who want that. You've got whole wheat. You've got corn-based ones. And it's not just those. You've got potato ones. And ones from, yeah, right? Yeah, anyone have a potato one? They're actually surprisingly good. You've got the wonderful pretzel flavored ones. That's good. No one else in my family really likes them. So it's just like, well, I can buy eight, but that means I have to eat eight hot dogs. Can he do it? Probably. I am Baptist. But it's not just like within the brand. You've got to try, you know, ballparks, and you've got to try Aunt Mills, and you got to try Pillsbury's, you know, all of these kinds. How can you act, you know, how do you do this? How do you taste test effectively hot dog buns? Well, I know. You just start eating. Okay, I tasted that one, and then you take another bite out of another one, and you just keep going down the line, right? Is that going to give you a fair and accurate taste test evaluation? You're like, no, you need something if you're a taste tester. Anything. I don't care what you're using. Pies, Coke versus Pepsi. What do you need? You know, Folgers versus everything else, apparently. What do you need if you're going to be an effective taste tester? You need some of this. You need water. This just happened to be here. It wasn't part of the sermon, but I thought, I'm parched. I'll pretend like it is. Yeah, you need to cleanse the palate. Every single time you take a bite, you have to cleanse the palate. Otherwise, you've still got chunks of the other thing in your mouth, and you're like, well, I'll try this potato one. This tastes like pretzel. Well, yeah, because you didn't take a drink of water to cleanse the palate in between. That's, I think, the image that John's giving us here. That's, I think, the image he's giving us. He says, watch yourselves, verse 8, so we don't lose what we have worked for. So you might receive a full reward. Anyone who does not remain in Christ's teaching but goes beyond it does not have God. The one who remains in that teaching, this one has both the Father and the Son. We have to remain in it. How do you remain in something? How do you hold fast to something? You keep going back to it. You keep going back to it. Because here, Here's the thing. The church, the ancient church, was like they were experiencing this massive boom of information and this new revelation from God. Yes, God has fully revealed himself in Jesus Christ. And so now we have to think of him in I don't want to say new ways, but more full ways. We more fully understand who God is through Jesus Christ. And so in the midst of that, as these deceivers come in, and as all this information comes in, how do you discern truth from falsehood? How do you do it? Well, you cleanse the palate. You go back to the teaching of Christ, the true teaching of Christ, over and over and over again. And while the first century had that problem, and I know we don't have like new revelation coming by, and here's a real quick cheat sheet. If someone's like, I have new revelation from God, you know what you do? You run the other way, right? You just, no, you don't. And you just go. Yeah, it's that simple. But we have other issues where we have an explosion of information. Do you know how much information we are exposed to in a day? Some social scientists think that we are an average person. So this isn't like an information junkie. Average person's exposed to about 32 gigabytes of information a day. Your hard drive is going to be overflowing. According to the BBC, the average person today is exposed to more information in one day than a person living in the 15th century would have been exposed to in their entire life. That's a lot. You can take one Thursday edition of the New York Times, right? Which is just, you know, you're always like, why am I paying $3 for this? Like, it's thinner than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. This thing is nothing. Why am I paying this much for this thing? The average New York, like weekday edition of the New York Times has more information than a person in the 15th century or even a few hundred years ago would have been exposed to in their entire life. So we, like the first century that John's writing to, we're having so much information thrown at us. How in the world do we remain true to the teaching of Christ? How do we understand, hey, this is truth, this is falsehood, this is truth? I mean, if you watch all of the works of Hanna-Barbera, they say it's going to take you like 60 years. I mean, that's just one production company. Like back to back, no break, 60 years. To watch all of their cartoons, you know, Scooby and the superheroes and all that stuff. Let alone, I mean, it's insane. I have people all the time, they're like sending me emails and text messages. They're like, you've got to check out this show. You've got to check out this show. And one day I'm just like, okay, I've got like, and I write like lists down of these shows everyone tells me to do. Okay, if I'm going to watch all of these shows, it's literally going to take me a full year worth of watching. No sleep, no breaks, no bathroom breaks. Fortunately, you got the second screen, right? So you can be like, bloop, put it on your phone and follow you in there. Like to watch all these things that people are constantly telling me to watch, and they're like, oh, here's a DVD you need to watch. I don't have time. There's too much information. How in the world do you remain faithful to Christ? How can you tell the difference between truth and falsehood? If you're anything like me, you're like, ha-ha, well, I'm smart, so I will use my intellect to figure it out. No, you're not as smart as you think you are. I'm certainly not as smart as I like to think I am. You will be deceived. You will fall away. You will think the potato hot dog bun is a pretzel bun. What do? You come back to the Word of God over and over and over again. That's why we do this at church. That's why we have the encouragement of the fellowship. That's why we do the Disciples Making Disciples group. That's why we encourage you, hey, if you don't have a Bible, I don't think I said it today, feel free to use one of the red chairback Bibles. They're cute for the most part. And as always, if you don't own a Bible, we'd like you to take one of those red check Bibles home with you, read it, put your name in it, it's our gift to you. We want you to get in the Word of God, and the Word of God to get in you. Why do I say that every week except for the one week when I should have said it and I forgot? It's because it's important. Because all of us are exposed to so much information, these deceivers will pull us away from Christ. Now, some of you might say, well, wait a minute, you know, with all these ideas, should we maybe perhaps listen and hear them out and see what these false teachers have to say? Maybe they've got some legitimate points. Here's what John says, verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your home. And don't say, welcome to him. For the one who says welcome to him shares in his evil works. Though I have many things to write to you, I don't want to do so with paper and pen and ink. Instead, I hope to be with you and talk face to face, so that our joy might be complete. The children of your elect sister send you greetings. That last part there is why it's important to do church together, That's why, yeah, you can have the best teachers in the world through your phone or a podcast or a video. You can. You have access to far better teachers than me. So why do we still do church like this? Why? Because this matters. Face-to-face matters. The fellowship matters. It all matters. If it didn't matter, Jesus just came for, he could have just come for a three-day weekend if he just came to save us from our sins. And he did come to save us from our sins, but he came for so much more. He came for so much more. That's why he walked among us for 30 plus years. Because this matters.
But John says about these false teachers, these deceivers, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't receive him into your home. Don't even say welcome to him.
Now this would have been insane for the first century to understand, because hospitality was huge. Like, you can't say no. You would build your house with a guest room on top, so there's, you know, separation, so they couldn't come and like rob you in the middle of the night. But you had a separate guest house. Everyone had to have one, because hospitality was huge. It was an affront to human nature, they thought, to turn away someone who said, "Hey, can I stay for a night or two? Can I share a meal with you?" And John says, "Don't even welcome them." Why? Well, because a false teacher comes into town. I imagine they come in scooters. I don't know why, but whenever I think of false teachers, they come in a scooter. And they come in and they think, "Hey, I want to teach in town and I need a place to stay." And you go, "Okay." Now they got free room and board. Now people who see them coming in and out of your house are like, "Oh, you're friends." John says, no, don't even support their work. Don't. Because they're trying to present a false Jesus. They're trying to drag people who believe in the true Jesus away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And for us, he says, don't even support their work, the work of false teachers. What is this like? Well, Facebook. Yeah, some of you have it, some of you don't. I've got Facebook. I've got all sorts of friends. This isn't saying, some of you are objecting to this and say, "Wait a minute, I've got friends and family members who aren't believers. Are you saying don't have anything to do with them?" No, of course not. No, what John's saying is people who are intentionally going out of their way to deceive people away from the one true Christ. So I have tons of friends on Facebook. Way too many friends. I've got friends who are liberal. I've got friends who are conservative and Republicans and Democrat and Jewish and atheist and agnostic. Right? I mean, I'm all friends with them. The ones I'm not friends with, there's a publisher, Christian publisher, and he's got a billion friends, and a billion of my publishing industry friends are his friends. And they say, you got to be friends with this guy. He is so influential. He's so huge. Yeah, okay, no. No, because this man says you don't even have to believe in the Trinity to be a Christian. And by the way, you throw out the Trinity, you've thrown out the deity of Jesus Christ. I've never seen anyone throw out the Trinity and not throw out the deity of Jesus Christ. Happens every time. I'm like, no. John says, don't even welcome them. I don't care if he could tell me how to be a better writer. I don't care if he can connect me to industry insiders and I can become a bestseller and we can raise enough money to put on an edition for the children's ministry. Like, I don't want any of that stuff. I'm not supporting his work in any way, shape, or form. Because he is actively trying to deceive people, and okay to deceive people, and he's okay to present people as Christians who are not Christians, but they're actually heretics and false teachers. How about we give them some time up here? They can share their testimony. No! Never gonna happen, John says. Don't even welcome them. How should we respond to false teachers? We should respond to false teachers by holding firm to the Word of God. There are so many different false teachers. We don't even recognize them. There are different kinds of false teachers. There are ones who are trying to drag us away because they sincerely believe what they believe. John says, don't welcome them. Don't support their work, whatever that looks like. There are ones who are like, a good example of the Kim family in North Korea, right? They indoctrinate their children. They have songs that say North Korea is the greatest place in the world. And everywhere else is a desolate wasteland. And they live like animals. And it's almost comical, except for it's tragic. I mean, he's starving his people to death. And he's indoctrinated so many of them to believe that this is the sum total of all human existence. And it is the greatest place on earth. He has them convinced it's Disney World. And everywhere else is, I don't know what would be the analogous to awful, the wasteland. Universal. He has them all convinced it's the greatest place on earth, and it's not. He's deceived them to control them. And we say, no,
We are not going to believe that fake Jesus is the real Jesus. We are going to believe in the one true Jesus. And the only way we can do that is by being people of the Word who are regularly reading the Word. That means every day. That means pondering on the things of the Lord every day by allowing the Word of God to change us and to change our minds and to form our thoughts so that when all of these deceptions from the world come in, we are not deceived by anyone else. We need to hold fast to the teachings of Christ. When I was a youth pastor, we took our kids in California down to San Diego to this awesome, big, huge retreat center. And it was like, it was cool because it was right on the Pacific Ocean. And so the kids would all be fighting. And I'm like, I don't care what room you're in. I get a view of the bay. We had bathrooms that had a view of the bay. It was awesome. So cool. So we're on this thing, and there were thousands, hundreds of kids, about 1,000 kids there. And they would always have these rec games. And one of the rec games, it was so sadistic. It was, you would, all of your teams are lined up here. There's like 30 teams, and there is, oh, I don't know, about 30 yards that way, a single wiffle ball bat, right? And the kids had to, on the count of go, they'd go run, and they'd grab the wiffle ball bat, and they'd have to take the wiffle ball bat, put it on their forehead, put it on the ground, and then go around 20 times, right? And then they'd oh gosh, that made me dizzy. And then they'd have to go back, and when they're done with their 20, they'd have to run over to their team and tag the next team member, and then the next team member would go and do the 20 and go. And once the whole line was done, then your team won. Yay! Right? That's what they did. Man, I am getting old. My kids have a sit and spin, and they're on that constantly, and they're like, woo, daddy, come on, let's try it. And they get up, and they're like, a little bit, but then they're like, cool. And I'm like, all right, I'll try it. So I go to around like twice in a circle, like really slow, like this fast. And I was like sick for like 3 hours. It's just, what is happening to me? So it's a sadistic game where they do this, and the kids are all like, ah, we figured it out. We figured out the secret. This is what you do. You go 10 times this way, and then you switch it up, and you go 10 times the other way, right? And do you think it works? No! They're still walking around like, ugh! And so it's humorous to watch. And what would typically happen is everyone would be screaming for their teammates to come across the line. And they're like, hey, Jimmy, we're over here. Jimmy, right? And so, because they have to tag the next team member, and they're all stumbling around. But then the other teams, right, because there's no rules other than the 20 times around thing. There's no rules. So the other teams are like, oh, wow, okay, that kid's name is Jimmy. So they'd be like, no, Jimmy, over here. Jimmy, right? And so the kids, you know, it's just, they can't see anything. And so they're all stumbling. I don't know where to go, right? And there's just so, so deceptive. I mean, that's the world we live in, where everyone's just like, oh, come over here. We have the only answers. Come over here. Those other guys are idiots. Ah. And you're, I don't even know where to go. Yeah, my team, we won that every year. Do you know why? You know why we won it every year? We found the secret. We did what everyone else did, but we did it better. We had on our team Cliff Lloyd, a retired LAPD officer. And this wasn't from the age of, you know, political correctness. Nah, he was a beat cop in the 70s. Everyone knew his name on the street and feared him and respected him. He was like, what, 75 when we'd go on these things. And he'd like, Pastor Nathan, let's wrestle on the beach. I'm like, I'd prefer not. Ah! Right? no fear whatsoever. And Cliff, he always walked like he had like a sidearm, even though he didn't. So people feared him. But man, Cliff would just stand behind that line, and people are screaming, Jimmy! And he'd be like, Jimmy! And there was no mistaking it. I mean, people would try to be as loud. People would try to emulate his voice, but it was just this, I mean, it's the voice you get when you are just like tougher than nails. Jimmy! And the kid's like, whoa, I know where he is, right? I mean, they'd still be goofy, but they knew where to go. And we won it every year because of Cliff. They listened to his voice. How do we respond to false teachers? We respond to false teachers by holding firm to the teachings of Christ. You listen to his voice. And how does it sound like Cliff's voice
booming out over the audience, booming out all the 32 gigabytes of information coming to you at all times, is by reading the Word of God. He's speaking to you. It is by reading the Word of God, He's speaking to you. How often do we say, oh, I wish God would say something to me. Why doesn't He say something to me? Yeah, read His Word. Come to church. Martin Luther said, and I told this to the elders to scare them before they're up here preaching. Martin Luther said, the preaching of the Word of God is the Word of God. It's incredible. It's insane. Yeah, it doesn't have, you know. But he's saying, if you're accurately saying what God's Word says, it is the Word of God. You know, I wish God would talk to me. Yeah, okay, go to church. Have fellowship with each other. Read His Word. He will speak to you. He will change your mind. He will be the booming voice out amongst the billion of other little gnats screaming your name. Jimmy! Okay, Lord. I'm coming. We respond to false teachers by holding fast to the Word of God. Read every day. Read every day. Let's pray. Father, we are people who are drowning in a sea of information. There are so many beliefs and so many ideals. And some of them, Lord, some of them are good. Some of them are right. Some of them are half right. Some of them are mostly wrong. And Lord, we confess to you, we are not smarter than the sum total of all human beings on the face of this planet. And we confess to you that we are not smart enough to discern truth from lie, truth from falsehood on our own. So I pray, Lord, you help us to be a people characterized by truth, people who love each other in the name of Jesus Christ, and that you help us to maintain grounding in that truth and repelling the false teachers and the false doctrines and the false beliefs by standing firm on your word. Yes, Lord, people will make fun of us. Yes, Lord, people will say it's outdated. But Lord, this is not a book. It is the living Word of God. It is living and active. You'll change us and transform us. We will see you and we will experience you as we read it and as we share it with others. I pray, Lord, that you help us here as a church congregation to be people characterized by your book, by your words that are transformed through the words that you speak through your word. Lord, help us to be humble enough to realize that we are not that smart, but that your voice is booming over the masses, over the voices. May we be transformed. May we be changed. May we be encouraged that yes, we can know the truth and the truth will set us free by reading your word. Thank you for delivering us from the darkness of this world and taking the scales off of our eyes so we can see Jesus clearly, the author and perfecter of our faith. In him may we find our salvation. In him may we find our purpose. In him may we find our ultimate reward. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.